Well, good morning, everyone. Today's teaching is entitled From Atonement to Righteousness. Last week we looked at and we pondered from the scriptures alienation from sin to atonement. We looked at how atonement refers to the act of making amends for offense towards God, in other words, sin, involving the satisfying of the debt or penalty for such an offense. And biblically, the penalty for sin is death. We looked at how God provided the atonement capable of paying the penalty for the sins of the whole world in the substitutive sacrifice of his own dear son, Jesus, his beloved son in whom he was well pleased. Jesus, without spot, without blemish, was slain, the just for the unjust. We also looked at how God's wrath of justice was received by Jesus to pay the full payment for the sins of the whole world, the full payment of Jesus' life fully poured out in the death of the cross, the atonement for the sin, your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world. And this was a provision by God, and it was offered to whosoever by God himself in his word. It was offered by God in his wisdom and in his mercy and grace. It was offered by God for the atonement for the sins of the whole world by the very life of his dear son. And how Christ's atonement for sin satisfied God's judgment, God's justice, and God's pronounced sentence and penalty for sin. And by God's provision for this, the atonement for sin was and is offered, once again, to whosoever accepts Jesus as their Savior. And we know what we're saved from. Saved from the wrath, saved from the penalty, saved from death. And whosoever confesses Jesus as Lord and believes God has raised him from the dead. One thing before we get started on justification and righteousness is without the atonement provided by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no provided justification. And God provided righteousness for mankind. Without that, it would be a moot point. So we're going to look at justification. Justification, what is justification? We see that word in the Bible when talking about the reconciliation of man to God. Justification is the just standing according to God's standard of justice, bought and paid for fully by the life and death of Jesus Christ, and the sentence authenticated and pronounced by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ verified it, authenticated it, and pronounced it. So if you would take your Bibles and turn to Romans. We're going to be in Romans a lot, so if you want to stick your ribbon there, it'll help you. Romans chapter 4, and at the very end of the chapter, we looked at this before, and we're going to look at it again. Verse 22 of chapter 4, Romans. And therefore, it was imputed to him that belief in God, that belief in the sacrifice of righteousness, as we discussed last week, it was imputed to him, Abraham, for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, and that would be God. Verse 25, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Raised again for our justification. The Greek word translated justification here, it means a sentence of acquittal. And it's a sentence of acquittal, not by the standard of our own merit or our own righteousness, but a sentence of acquittal based on the standard of God's righteousness provided through faith in Jesus Christ. Very important. Provided by faith through Jesus Christ, we have a sentence of acquittal. Acquittal. It's a positive thing to have a sentence of acquittal. Now, I've heard of different definitions for justification, but it's really justification or justness based on God's standard of justice. And we will see from the Word of God that God has justified man through faith in Jesus Christ based on his standard of justice. There's one definition out there, I used to hear it quite often, a definition or a catchy phrase about justification is just as if I never sinned. Maybe you've heard of that. But I think it would be more accurate that justice, because Christ never sinned. not us. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about Adam. Before the fall, before the rebellion, before the sin, Adam was righteous. And what happened to Adam's righteousness when he sinned? It was conditional because it was based on Adam's merit. But one thing is for sure, we have sinned. But one thing, another thing is for sure, is we have a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And his life, death, and resurrection is the provision that our God has offered to us for our justification through faith in Jesus Christ. Then, for a moment, think of the righteousness that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. Is it conditional like Adam's righteousness was? No, it's not. Does it change? No, it does not. Because it is by faith in Christ and not upon our own merit and our own righteousness. Romans chapter 3, please. Go back a chapter. This should be a familiar verse. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And by the merit of any man other than the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no justification. There is no righteousness to stand before God. Back to Romans 3, we're just going to read a little bit. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't end there, thank God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified just before God by his standard, according to his standard of justice, and he provided that standard of justice for us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it says justified freely, and that word freely means without a cause. Nothing twisted God's arm. It was by his own will, his own good pleasure, and his own purposes, and his great love for mankind. Verse 25, whom, Jesus Christ, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That's that expiatory sacrifice of atonement. That substitutive sacrifice for atonement. We remember as we read through Romans and these sections about justification and righteousness, to have the words ringing in our ear, the just for the unjust. And this was God's plan, and it was God's wisdom for the righteousness of mankind through Christ, through faith in Christ. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Does it say declaring our righteousness? No. It's declaring his righteousness through the forbearance of God. Verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, this is talking about God, his righteousness, God's righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That God is just in this. His plan of salvation, having Jesus Christ dying and atoning for the sins of the world, that was God's idea, freely, without a cause. His own idea, his own purposes, his own plan. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, God's righteousness. He's just in doing this. He didn't pull a fast one. It was just, it was legal. To declare his righteousness that he might be just, and he is, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Who justified man through believing in Jesus? God did. It was God's idea. It was God's purposes and planning according to his good pleasure. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. We could boast if it was on our own merit by doing the law perfectly, but no man can. All men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God. He is just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Isn't that wonderful? That is how mankind can be justified. And just as God provided the atonement, God has provided this standard of justness according to his will, according to his plan. And he's absolutely legally just in doing so because of the way he laid it out. And we'll see that in Romans 5. Now, when we look at righteousness, righteousness is where we are right before God. And no man was right before God until God provided his wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, to be our atonement and the basis for our acquittal and our basis for being just according to his standard of justice, which he laid out. Righteousness is that right before God, being right before God. And it consists of holiness. It consists of blamelessness. It consists of being a glory to God. But we know that, if we're honest, we haven't been holy. And we haven't been blameless before God. And at times we haven't been a glory to God. We haven't been right before God. Remember, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 3, I'm just going to read this for you. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. But we have a Savior, and we have a Lord, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God has provided that for us, for our righteousness, through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. When we think about, would we want to be the ones that would pay for the penalty of sin? I don't. Would we want my standard, would I want my own standard of righteousness dictating my rightness before God? I do not. I'm thankful for the mercy that God has shown us in Jesus Christ. And if we're all honest, we would be thankful also, and I believe we are. God has provided this righteousness, this being right before Him, through faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a blessing. I think about being thankful and grateful. The conditions and circumstances of this world are horrifying at times, frustrating at times, downright evil at times. But in all of this, we know that our atonement is sure, and we know that our justification, our justness, according to the standard of justice of God, is sure, and our being right before Him. Remember, this whole thing is taking man from sin to reconciliation. We'll be looking at that the next time we're together. We are righteous before God according to His standard of righteousness that God has provided, the righteousness of God through faith in Christ and not in our own merit. As soon as people start applying our own merit to having a relationship with God, we have error. And how many people have been turned off from accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Turned off by believing in God because they know that they can't do this on their own according to their own merit. And yet God has offered this huge blessing. He has provided this for mankind. All we need to do is reach out and accept it. And thank God we have. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul is stating, that he would be found in Him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness, or that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. And that is how mankind, and the only way mankind can stand before the holy and just and glorious God that we have. Turn to Romans chapter 10, please. Oh, we've read that before. We don't need to go there. Yes, we are. We're going to go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire, verse 1, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And many people do have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, remember this righteousness we've been talking about, how God has provided this righteousness for us to stand right before God through faith in Jesus Christ, not because of our own merit. We could never pay the penalty for our own atonement. We could never live up to the standard of justice that God has. without the Lord Jesus Christ, and we could never stand right before God without the Lord Jesus Christ also. For verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, in doing that, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Oh, I say, what a blessing it is that we are offered the opportunity to submit ourselves unto that righteousness that God has provided through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. People go, oh, that's it. This word end, it means the goal. Christ is the goal of the law for righteousness. And what was the goal of the law? If you did this, you are right before God. If you offended in one point, it says you've offended it in all points. But Christ, the goal, reconciling man back to God, Christ being the goal or the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that walks perfectly. No, everyone that believeth. For Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. If we think we're going to be righteous by doing the law, you'll have to live by it. I don't want to. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith, that's what we've been talking about. That's that provision that God has made. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? What saith it? The righteousness of God is speaking. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And that's what Paul and company was preaching. Preaching God's provision. Preaching God's grace and God's mercy in our Lord Jesus Christ through faith. Through faith. But what saith that the word is nigh thee, it's in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Remember from back when we started in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it talked about that justification, that sentence of acquittal. Of justness, that sentence which is not guilty. It didn't say not in it. It didn't say innocent. It said not. It's not a sentence of guilt. It's not guilty. Why? Because of what God has provided through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. According to that standard of justice, and according to God's standard of righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. What kind of righteousness is that? Righteousness of the law? Righteousness of our own merit? Our own self-righteousness? No, the righteousness that God has provided through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is what God has provided for us. Turn to chapter 5. Of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Boy, sometimes people can get into Romans chapter 5 and they can think, man, this is just theological and this is heavy and this is anything but inspiring. But think about it through Paul the Apostle's heart in proclaiming this. This was new. This was life-giving. This was important. It was anything but dull to the Apostle Paul when he was delivering this. And for every man, woman, and child that sees it and understands it and receives it and accepts it, it's anything but dull. Romans chapter 5, for the sake of time, we'll start in verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. One man's offense was Adam. Adam sinned. It was a rebellion against God, against God's godness. By one man's offense, Adam, death reigned. Death had royal authority. Because what did God say? What is the penalty for sin? Death. Royal authority. Much more they which receive an abundance, an exceeding abundance of grace. And when we think about what God has provided in His Son, Jesus Christ, it's divine favor. And of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The gift of righteousness provided by God has royal authority in life. Think about that. Therefore, verse 18, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. In Adam, when Adam sinned, condemnations, the sentence of condemnation, of judgment, came on all men. And you can say, it's not fair, I wasn't there. But in God's wisdom, when you think about the righteousness that we have in Jesus Christ, we weren't there either. But in God's wisdom, if all are condemned to judgment upon all men because of Adam's sin, it's righteous, it's just, it's legal that all men, whosoever believeth on Jesus Christ, the gift of justification on of life. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. We were made sinners by one man's disobedience. That's Adam. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The obedience of one. If you look back in verse 18, by the offense, the act that Adam had, all judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, you see the righteousness, the words the righteousness, it's the act of righteousness of Jesus Christ by one, Him, the free gift came unto all men unto justification of life. So by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Do you know what the law showed man? The law showed man they couldn't do it by themselves, and their own righteousness was never going to stand up before God. The law clearly showed that man could not live a sin-free life. It was abundantly apparent. That's what the law showed. The law entered that offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace, that gift of grace, of justification, of atonement, of righteousness that God has given us through faith in Jesus Christ has abounded. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned with royal authority unto death, even so might grace reign with royal authority through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. what we have in Christ and the blessing of believing in Christ and having our faith in Christ Jesus, in His accomplishment, in His life, in His death, in His resurrection, in His ascension, and the hope of His return. We think about this. We think about what God has provided. We started with sin. We went from sin to atonement. From atonement to justification and righteousness. And we won't meet next week. But the following week, we'll go from this justification and this righteousness to the reconciliation that God has provided through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the reconciliation of mankind back to God, to bring us back to God. It's in 1 Peter, it talks about, for Christ hath once suffered for the sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And that was the goal, to bring mankind back to God. And it's offered to whosoever believes. Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen.